to the Ladies of Liverpool podcast.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Ladies of Liverpool.
With Leanne Campbell.
It's Ladies of Liverpool. It's our podcast. Thanks for joining us. I hope you're spreading the word, letting everybody know every Friday. We speak to different ladies of Liverpool with different stories to tell. This week it's Tina Malone. She needs no introduction. You've all seen online in the papers everything that's been going on in her life. From the drug arrests to the bankruptcy, the struggles in her personal and her work life. And she's going to talk you through the whole thing. Get it from the horse's mouth. Hear how she hit rock bottom, but made her way right back up to where she belongs. It's Tina Malone. It's Ladies of Liverpool. Thanks for listening.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Right, I've managed to get her. She's chock-a-block. This woman never stops. But we have the one and only Tina Malone in the studio now. So hopefully you're settled down wherever you are, whether you're cooking the tea, you've just put the kids to bed, whether you're sat on your journey to work, whatever's going on, you're going to want to turn this up and not miss a single drop. Tina, we are thrilled to have you here in the studio. A lady of Liverpool who's done amazing things, a colourful life. And I think we need to start at the very beginning. So talk me through. You grew up in Toxteth.
I went to Blackburn House in Hope Street and then went the Everyman Youth Theatre. 10 and 11, I wanted to be an actress.
Yeah.
I'd even go so far back as seeing Millicent Martin mm-hmm. and Anita Harris at the Royal Court, Charlie Drake as a child.
Yeah.
That I went, that's what I want to do.
Yeah,
and
that
my mother
bug.
Taking me to see Glenda Jackson as Queen Elizabeth in the cinema.
Yeah.
And I knew that's what I wanted to do.
So what was your first step then, or your first big moment?
I worked with a Holiday Inn for years and, you know, strangely enough, I used to kind of babysit with my best friend, Karen, for John Gidman from Everton and Kenny Dalglish from Liverpool.
Oh, you did?
So
did you?
Yeah, and it was funny, I used to say to Jimmy Case and Ray Kennedy all the time, years ago, this sounds really ridiculous now, but I used to say to them and David Fairclough, I'll be famous one day, you know, laughing
yeah,
and all
yeah.
that. I never thought because I was pregnant at 17 and had Danielle at 18
mm-hmm.
and I had to earn money. You
yeah.
know, I was a single parent. So I went into acting at the age of 25. I met Peter Ward. I went for an interview at the what was then called the Rathbone Theatre Unit, which was incredible. And it spawned people like Kathy Tyson, Mark Morahan, me.
Yeah.
Lots of us came from there. And it was basically a 12-month government scheme
right.
where you trained, you built sets, you wrote, you created, you devised, you did shows, touring to the elderly for 3 weeks, the prisons for 3 weeks, children with disabilities for 3 weeks. It was the best training ground in the world.
I can imagine,
so I would
yeah.
say Peter Ward, who then went on to set up Hope Street.
Yeah.
Where politically they're not around anymore, are they?
And no.
Don't get me on my politics. I'm a fierce socialist.
That's what I remember from our times working together. We've
yeah.
stood outside the Royal Court or whatever on our breaks
yeah.
and I could listen to you all day and your thoughts on what's going on. Back then in the with the country, yeah. I can't even imagine
yeah. well,
jumping forward now at what's going on.
Don't. But the wonderful Peter Ward set up Hope Street, but
yeah.
he ran the Rathbone Theatre Unit and it was the most incredible training ground.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I did out street theatre and I always remember I was enormous then. And I'm going back 25 years,
yeah.
30 years. I always remember doing a street theatre show in Church Street and I was playing a child on a board game and some lad rode over me on a BMX and went, sorry Gail, you know that cat. So it was the best.
So you've always been close to your roots, haven't
yeah.
you? You've always been grounded
ground in
yeah.
the world.
Ladies of Liverpool.
So I did Blomfist, which is funny now, I
which
can't bear to watch.
A huge movie though, wasn't it? And that scene.
I know, and it's my only scene.
It's still all over Facebook.
But I can't bear it because...
Why?
Well, because I look like a caricature and I sound like I'm on helium.
For anyone
and
who hasn't seen it, can you talk us through what that scene
is?
Oh,
it's me and Margie Clark and the gorgeous Margie, who's had a colourful life as well, to say the
yeah.
least, who's very gracious and giving as an actress.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Clark directed it. Wonderful family.
I adore Frank. Frank's a gorgeous
man. Political as well.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Lovely people. And they gave me a break and I was in that. And in that scene, basically I'm a neighbour and Margie comes round to, because I've been, my kid's been picking on her kid type thing, and we end up boxing in the street. And funny enough, it was the first time Jake Abraham played my husband.
Another brilliant Scouse actor.
Yeah,
and I love
then fast forward 10 years later, he played my husband at the National Theatre.
Oh, wow.
And Darling for 10 months in Guiding Star, Jonathan Harvey's Guiding Star. So, you know, I went from the Unity to the Everyman to the Playhouse. I came out and then I set up my own all-female theatre company.
See, this is why I wanted to get you behind that mic, because I think a lot of people don't know the real Tina Malone. Mm. So we see this larger-than-life character that turns up on Brookside, Bolshie, yeah, yeah. We see the celebrity Big Brother side of yeah. you and all this kind of thing. And people forget or just have never known that you are a serious, serious actress.
Yeah.
Really paid her dues on every level.
Yeah. Well, when I came out of Brookside, I did 5 years in Brookside.
That's where you turned up for most people on Brookside.
As Mo McGee. And, you know, Phil Redman was incredible giving me that opportunity because I wrote to him and Dorothy Andrew that many times. They gave me the part. They wrote the part for me. Because I never stopped harassing them.
And it's that old saying, you've got to keep knocking on the door.
Well, Spielberg ain't knocking my door down anytime soon, and I'm an award-winning actress.
There you go.
It's not going to happen. So, and as I tell my students all the time, mm-hmm. right. Then I did Willie Russell's Terraces, a film. Then I did a lot of plays. And then from Brookside, when I left, I did mostly Screen 2's BBC Two with Kathy Burke and Pete Postlethwaite.
Yeah.
I did Henry VIII with Ray Winstone.
Wow.
I did Fingersmith with Sally Hawkins and Michelle Doherty.
What a career.
So I did a lot of period dramas that were non-Liverpool.
Yeah.
And it's lovely when you see someone like Michelle in Downton, and I bumped into her in London, and she's Lady Mary and Hollywood. And she was like, oh my God, you took me under my wing, under your wing, and looked after me.
So then Shameless falls on your knee.
Yeah.
You're auditioning for Shameless.
Yeah. Well,
which is different
to
a period drama. How many years were you filming Shameless?
Years.
It was a long time, wasn't it?
Yeah. And it was one of those series, you know, I watched Leanne. And I'd done a couple of pantos with you then. I'd done with Jane Joseph and Lee Kelly.
That's right.
And various pantos. And it was one of those shows, I watched the first series and went, I want to do this.
Yeah.
This it was groundbreaking. Yeah. Like Brookside.
So you weren't
been
in it from the start?
No, I wasn't in the first series.
I thought you were in it right from the beginning.
No.
So you watched it, and that must be an incredible feeling.
Oh my God.
To know what you're walking into. Because so many times you audition for stuff and you've got no idea what it's going to be when it turns out.
Yeah.
To see something that's so successful already.
I just knew. And it was still quite low-key, the first series. I mean, obviously, Amory Duff was in it, James McAvoy, Maxine Peake, the incredible
huge
David
names.
Crowball.
Yeah.
What can I say? Changed my life for 10 years. I lived in Manchester then. Mm. Obviously, financially stable.
Yeah.
And during those 10 years, I got married, lost 12 stone, gave up smoking.
Yeah. I want to know the ins and outs of that.
Well, I went from being, and I am fiercely political.
Yeah.
I'm a staunch Labour socialist, anti-Tory. I know I'm not supposed to.
You can say whatever you like on this podcast.
They drag me off the BBC by, you know, if I do their news items.
Yeah. As long as you don't get yourself into trouble.
No, I wouldn't. And not anymore.
Ladies of Liverpool. Everything Liverpool. Everything for ladies.
So I did Celebrity Big Brother in 2009 with
Now,
Davina.
Were you doing Shameless at the time?
I was, yeah.
So you were doing that?
At that point, we had kind of 2 or 3 months off a year.
Right.
So every time I fitted something in.
Well, when it comes to being, you know, being offered Celebrity Big Brother, which was huge back then.
Yeah, and
massive.
Huge money.
So, you know, I was going to ask, was it the money that made you go, I can't say no to this?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was the one thing
Absolutely.
That made you do it.
Absolutely. I mean, there was, you know, there was...
You can name your price when you're on telly, primetime telly like that.
Well,
you can name your price going into
getting
that.
Over 100 grand.
Yeah.
In them days.
Find me someone who's going to happily say no. Yeah.
And also, you know, you kind of go, I did Celebrity Big Brother, it was Davina, it was new, fresh, it wasn't new, it'd been about 8, 9 years old. But I was going in with Vern LaToya Jackson, Terry Christian, Mutty out the Sugar Babes, Ulrika, you know,
great
the
lineup.
People were, or Michelle Heaton. These were all singers, actors, you know, dancers, musicians, DJs. These were all people who had a job.
Yep.
And for me,
that's a difference.
That's what reality should be. Because, you know, celebrity, The word means a celebration of talent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm kind of a little bit like, well, then watch.
You've got these young girls coming out of school and that's what they aspire to be. That's what you ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be on Love Island. And you're like,
I think I would go back to the beginning with my daughter if she came out and said something like that to me. I think I'd be absolutely, you know, if young girls aspire to acrylic nails and being orange and having Scouse bras and pumped up lips, well, then it's a very sad world.
It's true.
Getting sadder.
Ladies of Liverpool.
I was pregnant at 17 and had Danielle at 18.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I met Paul during Shameless. I'd road tested quite a few.
What was it about your book? Because he was young, he was fresh out of the army, wasn't he?
Yeah, nearly 20 years younger than me. And I met him in a fat camp reality thing, and he was one of the squaddies and I hated him because I kept going to him, excuse me, can you stop knocking on my door and saying you've got 15 minutes to shower and get downstairs in your kit, we're going out whitewater rafting or building a canoe, because I'm the celebrity booked, so I don't have to do everything. And he just stood at my door and went, you're part of the team, you do.
So we stood his ground. And was that where the chemistry came in? You thought, oh, well, I've met me match here.
He was back from Iraq and Afghanistan and stuff. And I guess he didn't really know Shameless.
No.
So, you know, we met this fat funny bird who was last at the back of the girls walking up. You know, it was full of kind of women from all over the country who wanted to lose a couple of stone for their wedding, you know, Chelsea tractor drivers, you know, and they were all kind of, they'd come from Holland, South Africa, Wales, to go to the Peak District for 2 weeks, check in to this fat camp and get fit. And I was just a celeb, getting paid, eating jelly babies. They took me minstrels out my bag. They took me jelly babies. I was like, hang on, what?
No.
And living on oat cakes.
And apple.
I did this. I was like that to my agent, third day, get me out. But I'd taken my niece and she wanted to finish it. Oh, Michaela, she was determined to, even though she was a little skinny thing anyway. Yeah. And we had a great time. And on the fourth day, it was funny. Oh, Michaela was talking to him, my niece, who was more his age. And I was, and she went, what are you looking at? And I went, just saw him talk to a couple of the girls. Have you seen him dance? And that was the first thing. And she went, oh, Chevy. Because they called him Chevy, okay. Paul Chase. She went, yeah. And I went, yeah. She went, what do you mean? And I went, he can't half move, can he? And it's something I like in a man.
Yes.
And, he was like throwing the bit of the Justin Timberlakes. I mean, you've got to be careful, make sure he's, you know, he doesn't bat for the other side, because usually the best answers do, not being funny.
Exactly. You know, you're thinking, he's too good to be true. He's probably.
Anyway, yeah.
And he's a good-looking lad and everything. Yeah, looks after himself
great
and you've
body.
Gone. Oh,
and,
my lucky, he's going to be good.
Yeah, and we had such a great laugh, and he had to stay when we did the final day of the week where you've lost inches. I mean, because you were starving, and we had to do the 8 mile run uphill. Of course, some of them were doing it in kind of half an hour, 2 hours.
No,
I was
Gina.
Like 9 hours.
Oh, so I'm thinking not in weeks.
He was at the back with me because by the time I started the run in the light, it was dark by the time I finished it. So, and he was literally going, one more jelly baby, one more flag post.
Yeah.
And I was like that up the hill. So I met him enormous.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd taken a couple of stone off at that point because I'd been so unhealthy. Just come out of Celebrity Big Brother and had a lot of money in the bank, was enormous, about to go for a gastric band, and I'd come out of a long-term relationship that was hell. And so I was very shrewd, very jaded, very aware. And I met this guy, didn't have a clue who I was, didn't care who I was, wasn't impressed, and was from Birkenhead. And, you know, the Smith song, she married a tattooed boy from Birkenhead.
Yeah.
A tattooed soldier from Birkenhead. But anyway.
And that's you and your boy.
Yeah, ball. Yeah. And he made me laugh. Mm. Leanne, he made me laugh.
And after Celebrity Big Brother and everything else, that's exactly what you needed.
He stopped me being, I'd gone from being I'm very for education, me. A lot of people don't know, and you know, when they come to me, my students, I'm very informed, I'm well read.
Yeah.
And I think people think, you know, I'm not.
They mistake you for the characters that we've seen.
Exactly,
you play.
Yeah.
And that's what I gather.
And people do go, oh, you know, love you as me, and I'm so far removed. But anyway.
Yeah.
But and I met him and we moved in 13 days later, and that was 11 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And my daughter, my eldest daughter, Danielle, who was away at the time, she'd run away to travel to Australia and stuff because I had a few quid. And because she couldn't bear the fact that I was on television in Celebrity Big Brother, she was mortified.
Did that kill her?
Danielle's
it?
A very different kind of actress. She's drama school, darling.
Yeah.
You know, sitting, reading, you know, Brecht at, you know, while watching something at the National, drinking copious amounts of red wine.
Oh, right,
so,
okay.
So, all funded by the mother. So, you know, so doing the celebrity garbage that she eats. So, anyway, so Danielle went to him, and I'll never forget when she flew, I flew her over from Australia to meet him, and then she went back travelling.
And Betty moaned all the way.
Oh, I didn't see her for the week. She went out with a mate.
Oh, did she?
But anyway, she met him, and she said to his face, and I'll never forget him, I'll give you 6 months.
Oh! Well, you proved that one wrong, didn't you?
And the funny thing is, they actually, they're either fighting or laughing.
How close in age are they?
Well, I'm a year older than my mother-in-law.
Right.
And my daughter's a year older than my husband.
Okay.
So they were kind of loving the old Depeche Mode and, you know, To Labyrinth and Legend and the same kind of comedy and the same music.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the rave stuff and what have you. And I was kind of more, you know, I'm Paul and Danielle are watching The Inbetweeners and, you know, and Buffy the Vampire. And I'm kind of watching The Exorcist and you know, telling them about Steptoe and Rising Damp.
Yeah.
So it was
very...
Very different. He brought different things to my table, Paul. I mean, where we did match, and I can say this, you've just said, was in the bedroom. and sometimes that is the most important place, you know, because sometimes, you know, when you have chemistry like that, you know, and by the recent 2 years we've had, that's the one thing that didn't go completely. It did for a period of months, but you know, it's never gone. He still floats my boat, so to speak.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
So I got married during Shameless, got the gastric band during Shameless, did Celebrity Come Dine With Me, Celebrity Four Weddings, which I won both, did Celebrity Big Brother, did 8 out of 10 Cats, did, you know, the Alan Carr show, did. I was on everything, doing everything.
You didn't disappear once you stepped out.
No, but, you know, I did the other side. I did the kind of masterminds and everything else, you know.
Talk to us about the baby then, because it was an IVF journey for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, of course. I went to see, this is the God honest truth, I was 49 and I went... Living in Manchester, and I love Manchester. Yeah. I love the people. We're all Celts.
Is that when you're in the cottage?
Yeah. Well, I was in, we had the house in Alderley Edge with the swimming pool for a while.
Yeah.
And then we partied in the Keys for 5 years. Then we got a Cocker Spaniel and a teacup Yorkie and got married and got a cottage.
I remember you telling me of the cottage. And Tina back then was making pies.
Oh, yeah.
She was talking to me about having a baby.
Lemon drizzle cakes.
Was I early pregnant with Annabelle?
Yes.
At the time.
Yes.
And we were talking babies' names. And I'm like, oh, hang on a minute. Yeah. Tina, you have to have a baby. And we started chatting.
Yeah,
and like, I would. I know people are going to think I'm too old.
And you hadn't really told anyone.
No, you hadn't told anyone. Yeah. You said, but I know people are going to think I'm too old or whatever. And I was like, my mum was 40 when she had my little brother. Yeah. And, you know, you're fit, you're well. Yeah, yeah. You've got a lovely husband.
I went through a journey. I came to Liverpool and went to see Dr. Kingsland at the Liverpool Women's Fertility. And, of course, he immediately said, you smoke. You've got, you know, ex-drink and drugs in your past.
Yeah.
I'm 23 years sober now, by the way. At that point, I was probably 13 years sober. And he said, you're morbidly and clinically obese, you smoke and you work an 80-hour week. And you're overage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I get politically the whole, feel IVF and who should fund it. I knew at that point, 49 years of age, no, the NHS should not fund. I can afford it and should not fund my IVF because of my age, because younger people need it. I'll go into that in a minute. But basically, he said, but I've got a partner who works here with me in a private clinic in Rodney Street. And he sent me to see Mr. Gazvani, who's the most incredible Cypriot man. And I met him and he said to me, well, you're morbidly and clinically obese. We've done your hair. We've done your water. Too much protein in your body. And, you know, you work an 80-hour week and you smoke and whatever. And I went, okay, but you do people like in Cyprus of my age. And he said, Dr. Tekin, who I work with in Cyprus, has done women over 60. And I went back because I'm a little bit, well, I am OCD and bipolar, diagnosed. Yeah. I don't wear them as a label.
Yeah.
I was diagnosed at 28. I'm neurotic and self-obsessed and hormonal and a crank anyway. And I admit that.
They're the labels but, you put on yeah, yourself. Yeah, oh my not God, the others, yeah.
But, and I went to see him on 30th of January, the day of my 50th birthday, mm-hmm. still living in Manchester. Had booked my 50th birthday party at the Carriage Works.
Yeah.
Everyone was going. I made the appointment 6 o'clock in Rodney Street and I went to see him. I said, there's my brown envelope. I've handed my notice in. I leave work in 4 weeks. I've lost 12 stone. Take my hair and my blood. I am drug free, drink free and nicotine free.
Yeah.
Now, can I have IVF?
He just wanted a baby.
And he just nearly fell through the floor and he went, you're deadly serious.
Yeah.
And we went to Cyprus, and 6 weeks later, I was pregnant.
First time round?
Yeah.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Rejoicing, I got messages off, you know, I got followed by Peter Stringfellow and yeah. Simon Cowell, and congratulations from these incredible people who were older.
The country were following
mostly,
your story, yeah.
Most of the negativity, and this was not hard to take because I couldn't give a rat's arse, to be honest, to what anyone says. And basically, I would say of the 100% messages, I would say I got maybe 2% negativity.
Yeah.
They were from women.
So it was women?
Women.
Who felt what, Tina, that
no
you were too
idea.
Old?
That I was too old, I was being selfish.
People listen to this, and we'll have lots of women listen, because when we talk about, you know, fertility or IVF on the podcast, I always get some feedback back from women who are going through it.
And you know, I remember you being pregnant. With Annabelle.
Yeah.
And Joseph must have been about 2 or 3 then.
Yeah, he was in your baby 3,
And I remember speaking to you about it and you were very supportive.
Yeah.
A lot of people were. But since then, I've met a lot of people, very famous actors, by the way, who've gone to me backstage at anything from This Morning to Loose Women. Whispered, we had IVF.
Yes.
And I've gone, you didn't have syphilis.
Talk about it. Yeah, tell people.
I told the world.
Yep.
Don't get me wrong, I got paid to do it. And the reason, because I've got bills like everyone else, darling.
Yeah,
so
I've
got to pay the mortgage.
You're in the public eye.
Exactly.
So for you,
but my
it's a bit different for you talking about
loss.
It than someone talking about
weight
it in the bingo.
Weight loss and IVF all day long.
Yeah.
I've done every diet. The gastric band served me well, size 28 to size 8.
Yeah.
The same as IVF. If you get asked to go to Turkey or Belgium or whatever for your gastric band or your teeth, so be it.
Mm-hmm.
Great. If you've got no kids and you can jet off and go and do it for a couple of quid on your own, I couldn't take risks like that under the knife.
No.
Yeah, I've got children.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. So what I did was stuck to tried and tested. But what I did was my research.
Mm.
And I'm very good, Leanne. I've got a memory like an elephant, mate.
Yeah.
I remember everybody's name, everybody's age, where they're from, what they do. I remember everything.
Yeah.
And I can filter information.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do think I'm the oracle. I'm an obnoxious bitch. Put me in a room with 30 people, tell me all their names and their date of birth, take me out the room and I'll tell you every one of them when I go back in.
Yeah, yeah. But you're there, you're studying, you're not just going, oh, I'm going
to
do this because I'm getting
clinic.
It for free. You're like...
And
you
also,
want the best.
And the statistics with Gosvani and Tekin, and they came from Kingsland.
Yeah.
Dr. Kingsland, who's been at the women's hospital for years, getting women pregnant on the NHS, supporting women, gay women, women of all religions, women of all races, women of all sizes, shapes. There's a cutoff. Because of the NHS funding.
Yeah.
Because we're limited. Because we live in an area that has a lot of issues.
Yeah.
Poverty.
Yeah.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Flame actually goes to me. Mummy, one of the children today asked me, were you my nana? And I said, no, my mum's just old. She's 39. And I went, yep, that's right. You got it. Mum, I'm 39. But no, I have a laugh with the teachers about it and the headmistress. And the headmistress said to me, Mrs. Wilson said she turned 50 and the school gave her an incredible school. By the way, Much Walton. And they threw like a party and Mrs. Wilson said, yeah, I turned 50 and Flame went, my mum's not that old yet.
No.
Here I am, 56.
But she's stuck now, on 39.
Do I care what anyone thinks in the playground? Oh, my God, the last couple of years would have a bearing on that, wouldn't it? But no, I've, since 5 years of age, yeah. I don't care. If I want to wear a bucket on me head, Leanne, I will.
Yeah, of course.
You know me. If I want to go for Burger King with my makeup on, dressed as, you know, a queen
yeah.
out the Epstein, I will.
Public opinion's never been your thing.
Never. Don't care.
So a lot of your life we get to see in the tabloids.
Yeah.
So we've got to see the whole bankruptcy thing.
Yeah.
So that was public knowledge.
Yeah, yeah.
Things like this that we all know people who've gone
yeah,
through.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ray Winston.
Stuff like this.
Alan Sugar, but Abraham Lincoln.
But even just people in our community
every
that
day.
We see.
Yeah.
People struggling yeah, now yeah, yeah. is not big news because no. it's happening to everyone.
Well, listen, you know when people say, I don't remember. People talk about, you know, we've got food banks. The Tories go on about food banks. I don't remember food banks 10 years ago, do you?
Nope.
I don't even remember them 6 or 7 years ago, do you?
No.
And yet now they're on every corner.
Yeah.
You know, like the corner shop?
Yeah.
They're on every corner. It's... Only what they've done is destroy the high streets.
Yeah.
With all their, you know, progression, destroyed the high streets. Boots, struggling.
Yeah.
Dorothy Perkins.
I know, it's a sign tell of the you times,
what,
isn't it?
Tell you what, you'll be on a computer in 10 years, Leanne,
mm-hmm.
and you'll be ordering your sex as well as your food, as well as your everything else.
Yeah. Have you got any advice, maybe? Because you've come out the other side of it now.
Bankruptcy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. For anyone who's now money struggles, things like that. Have you got any advice or any learns?
The only thing I've learned is to stop spending.
Okay.
Because I can't go into Harvey Nixon Selfridges anymore.
So is that where spend. You think your problem came from? You were
yeah,
just
was,
still living the life
oh, yeah.
when you were
and
earning
also,
big money.
Stupidly generous.
Okay. So you're dishing out your money, you're helping
generous.
People out.
Every show I've ever done, every show I've ever worked on, family, friends,
yeah.
I give.
And then,
I don't buy someone a £5 bottle of wine, I get them a bottle of champagne.
Well, the day comes then that you're told you're bankrupt, you're in a bad
yeah.
situation.
Yeah, yeah. So do I regret what I did to get there? No.
Not for
all.
A minute.
Would I do it again? I put a smile on people's faces, didn't buy them. Because
yeah.
it was sometimes people I'd never see again.
Yeah.
You know, I went from a bed sitting Smithdown Road with Danielle, you know, with a five-year-old sharing a single bed at a Staffordshire Bull Terrier, two hamsters training at Peter Ward's going, I've got, do I put this quid in the lecky?
Yeah.
Do I get two Lucy's? Or do we walk to school in Mather Avenue in the morning? I thought, I'll go to bed early, get one ciggy and we'll get the bus in the morning.
Ladies of Liverpool. Everything Liverpool. Everything for ladies.
So you've gone through that and we know that's part of your journey
yeah.
for the last 2 years.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
then, of course, you had the whole court case
yeah.
that you went through. And from what we've all read, it was an honest case of you retweeted something that lots of other people retweeted. And
shared.
The next minute, oh, shared.
Yeah.
Was it on Facebook?
Yeah, yeah.
You shared something.
Mm.
Lots of other people shared it. It's on Facebook. Someone plucks you out and you're standing in court.
I'm not really allowed to go into detail about this.
Yeah.
What I can say is I went through a bad 2 years. I was dumped by a couple of very close people.
Right.
Who'd been my best friend of 18 years.
And was that because of the controversy
no,
of this?
No, before
this was
all
building
happened.
Up. Oh, I see.
And
yeah.
I was let down from a great height
mm-hmm.
and judged and for things. And the irony being, people in glass houses, I could destroy some people
yeah.
in every way. Their family lives, to what they do, to everything.
And these are the people that let you down.
Very close people. A couple mm-hmm. of very close people. In the last 2 years, how many people have gone, didn't you see that coming, Tina?
Mm-hmm.
Did you not see that coming?
But you were oblivious. You loved them.
And I loved them.
Mm.
And I felt bereft. I felt devastated. Then I felt anger.
Yeah.
So I went from desperation, clinging to them, begging them to not leave me.
Yeah.
This is friendship I'm talking about, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, yeah.
To then paranoia and then to a severe breakdown.
Yeah.
To then want them to be put in the boot of a car. Anger.
Yeah.
Then to going back into therapy, cognitive therapy, and spending a lot of time with my priest and...
And
then
this is
getting
all
through it.
Building up to get
and
putting
then,
you in a place
well, there was
of...
the arrest in the panto.
course.
That was the first.
I didn't want to bring that up because I didn't know whether you wanted to talk about that or not.
I was set up. It's very well documented about my drug and drink past in my autobiography, you know, through college, you know, everyone smoked. Years ago, you know, when people took ecstasy. I've always been somebody a bit like John Lennon, I guess. Not that I'm in any way comparing myself to that genius. But I think you should try most things in life. And I have. And I've been through most things. Not a lot of what I wanted or asked for.
Yeah.
But anyway,
But you say that you wouldn't change anything.
No,
you've gone through what you've gone through.
You know, I could be a difficult teenager. I've always been a fundamentally decent person. I wouldn't hate anyone,
Leanne.
Never have done.
I know
I really wouldn't. But if, you know, because I was honest about my struggle with certain substances in my past, somebody who, I turned up at Barrow in Furness to do a panto.
Yeah.
In a nutshell. At a theatre. And it wasn't a theatre. It was a nightclub.
Right, okay.
So there were no dressing rooms. There were no areas to change. And they had an EastEnders star, a reality star, and me. And the day we opened, all the Paps were there very early, which I thought was very odd. I hadn't seen Flame for 5 days. My husband was driving down. And straight after the show, I was the only person who'd given every child a card and a little tiny present.
Yeah.
And straight after the show, I went out to kiss Flame, who I hadn't seen for 4 days. And it was the longest we'd been apart while I'd been rehearsing and opening. And I got out to the front, three black Mariahs, full view of all the Paps, everyone, cameras everywhere. I get pulled out of a taxi in front of my husband and my daughter. Miss Malone, come with us. They opened my bag. They said, is this your bag? Took me into the office. Meanwhile, the guy who owned the office was going, come into my office for privacy. And literally they went, is this your bag? I went, yes, it is. And they went, is this your purse, this eyelash thing?
Yeah.
And I went, yes, it is. And they opened it and pulled out a packet with Tina Malone on.
So, and like an envelope?
Yeah, you know, the way people get drugs delivered with
in
their
a
name
little
on.
Envelope,
yeah.
Put your name on.
Yeah, Chrissy Rock was the funniest in support when everyone from Dormore to many celebrities I won't name, people who support me and follow me, you know, the Simon Cowells of the world to the Snoop Dogg.
Well, Chrissy Rock
sent me one going, Tina, I don't know how you could order drugs, girl. You couldn't order a pizza in Barrow in Furness. No, it was that shocked. I projectile vomited in the office all over the policewoman.
Oh, that is
projectile vomited.
Terror, isn't it?
Never been arrested in my life.
No.
Never been in a cell in my life. Ever.
Ladies of Liverpool.
So they did. I said, take me blood, take me hair, do everything you want to do. And they went, look, we found it in your bag. We've got it on you. You got your possession. If you stay in overnight, we charge you with possession and you get a lawyer and you got to sleep in that cell overnight.
And then you're
going
out.
And I went, but I am denying it. And they went, but if you just go, yeah, I'll accept the caution.
Then you're staying overnight. You go home
then
tomorrow.
You go
and we
home
all
now.
Forget about
no,
it.
No, you go home now.
Oh,
you go home now.
Oh, okay.
And I went. So if I say it's mine, I go home now. And they went, you're not only go home now, we'll run you home. So I went. But what does that mean? I've got a criminal record. And they went, no, it's a caution.
Oh, Tina.
So
and there's no one there to give you any advice.
No. So I just went. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. I'd come off stage. My daughter had arrived.
And
so
she's witnessed you getting pulled out of a taxi. And you just want to get back to the
with Paul,
to Flame.
So anyway, I just went, yeah, go on, then I'll accept the award. And the next day, it was front of every single paper. Of course, they sacked me, which meant they didn't have to pay me the last of the money. And I had a certain, I won't call it a newspaper, piece of trash.
Yeah.
Tory, misogynistic, racist, homophobic, xenophobic piece of trash that people still read in this country.
I think everyone can guess what you're talking about.
At my door. Mm. At my hotel door, by the way. Not outside the hotel. At my bedroom door. And I still didn't get on to who it was. So the guy was running back and going, the cats don't want to speak to you. and it's terrible the way they're treating you. This is the producer.
Yeah.
And he was running back to the cast and they were going, how is she? And he was going, she doesn't want to speak to any of you.
What's going
on
here?
And he made £37,000 for having pictures of me on with the police, being arrested, and for selling a story that I was walking round. Now, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Even people who believed it, who went, oh, I remember it, bang on the beak or bang on the pot or whatever.
Yeah.
Even people who believed it went, what? They printed that I was walking round backstage telling children to F off, going, where's my little bag of fairy powder? Children. And I was sitting backstage with rolled up 20s in my dressing room, locking myself in my dressing room. Leanne, may God take my children from me. I didn't have a dressing room. Yeah. It was a nightclub with a flat.
Yeah.
Turns out the guy wasn't an executive producer. He had served 5 years in prison, in Walton Prison, for stealing 90 grand off a 78-year-old man.
What?
A man who never goes out, by the way. Never goes out in the air.
And so this builds up to the moment you press share on something that other people have shared. And
well, no, I shared that during the depression of the breakdown
so
over my friend.
Massive
but
shit
it came
storm.
Back to me 12 months later.
Oh.
So that happened. And I was an ambassador for the James Bulger Trust at the
time. Yeah, I know you're very close to the charity.
Oh, yeah, very close to Denise and Stu. But, I shared something I shouldn't have done.
And I know you're limited on what you can say, and legally we've got to protect you in this scenario.
Somebody came to my help, a lawyer called Mark Manley, who is a Scouser. And an Evertonian, and I don't hold that against him, who's the most incredible man. I mean, this guy's represented Harry Redknapp to Kylie Minogue to Orlando Bloom, Anthony Hopkins to some Scouser from Scotty Road.
So he hears about you, he steps in?
Yeah, well, he was put in touch with me.
Yeah, and what could have turned out to be? Because you can face jail for something like that.
Basically, over 10 years, 17 people have been prosecuted. Over 2 million have done it. But I had things going against me.
Right.
Because I am in the public eye and I was an ambassador.
Yeah.
So, and I shouldn't have done it. But Mark, my lawyer, got me incredible briefs. And another thing, I'll tell you this. This is how bad things were. And I've never told anybody this.
Go on, Tina.
Nobody. Things were that bad that, and have been, that when I didn't even have the train fares and taxi fares to get to court, and he even paid for those, my lawyer.
What would you have done without him?
I'd have been in prison.
Mm-hmm.
But he fought the case for me anyway.
Yeah.
And I got 8 months suspended sentence. And they wanted to give me a £20,000 fine, but it was a £10,000 fine.
So 10 grand fine at a time when you're rock bottom.
And some costs. Yeah, but I'm... And a few people around the country set up GoFundMe pages.
Yeah.
To pay off my fine, which was really lovely.
Yeah.
But I was advised not to.
Yeah.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
I don't trust anyone. In the entire world.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Not one single person. And that's incredibly sad because I adore my mother.
Yeah.
I'd die without her.
Yeah.
I am very much in love with my husband.
Yeah.
And my children are everything.
But you've put this wall up now to protect yourself.
One single person.
Yeah.
After what I went through, not one single, not a stranger producer to a best friend. Nobody. Not one relative, not one friend. And if that offends anyone, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But it's the wall I have to build.
Mm, it's the truth.
But the good things that came out of it were I got closer to my faith.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most people know I'm a devout Catholic and always have been, but I don't miss Mass ever. Yeah. I haven't done for years. But now last year I was a useless, wasting, pathetic over waste of a woman. And Flame didn't deserve to have me as a mother. And Paul didn't deserve to have to suffer me as a stupid, irresponsible mess. And that's where I'd got to with my depression.
That's what the voices were telling you in your head, yeah.
First time in my life, I can honestly say to you, I'd planned my suicide. There was going to be no blood and gore, no drinking, and no, yeah. I was going.
Rock bottom, Tina, isn't it?
That's... Oh, my, and I was doing it.
Yeah.
I'd planned the day and everything.
And what stopped you?
Flame, the guilt.
Yeah.
I brought her into the world.
Yeah.
What kind of person would I be to leave her? Danielle's happily married now with a 3-year-old and a good husband and an established career.
Yeah.
Paul's young enough to meet someone else. You know what I mean? Someone decent. And that's what I felt. That's what
Thank
I was.
Thank God you've seen sense.
She saved my life.
You've got help.
Yeah. You know, I've always said this, Leanne. If there's 2,000 people walking down a street and a brick hits one of them on the head, it's going to be me. But you know, if there's 2,000 people walking down the street and a crock of gold hits one of them, it's going to be me.
Yeah.
I'm like that. It's a highs and lows.
Yeah. You know, listening to you saying that, I'm thinking of all the other women listening now who have either had a baby and they feel like they've lost their mojo, or they've had to change the job, or they've been made redundant and they don't know what's around the corner. Yeah. If nothing else you take from this podcast, is that the world can change in an instant.
And don't be afraid. I think the most important things I've learnt in life, you know, my mother turned 80 last night and I looked at my family. And her sisters are in their 70s, Astrid and Val. We lost her eldest sister, Doreen. Me and Paul got married on the day of her birthday. And I looked at my family last night, as I do all the time now, and I think I'm blessed.
Yeah.
And I think the most important thing, I'm really pro-women, me,
yeah.
is that we've had all these movements lately, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
The Me Too movements and all these horrendous things. And I think there's probably every other woman, I wouldn't say one in three.
No.
I'd say every other woman at some point has suffered.
Yeah.
Physically or mentally mm-hmm. or emotionally.
Yeah.
At the hands of somebody.
Yes. Yeah.
Whether it be a female or a male.
Yeah.
Believe you me, I'd say every other woman.
Yeah.
Not one in three. And what I would say is, don't ever be afraid to be real.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with crying.
No.
There's nothing wrong with going to your doctor.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong in cognitive therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with seeing your priest. Yeah. Father Tim got me through a lot of what I've just been through.
Yeah.
There is nothing wrong with going the woods with me dogs and me stick and me coat in the rain, in our wellies, me and Flame jumping up and down through muddy puddles.
Yeah.
And we do it sometimes. And I cry in the woods with her.
Yeah.
And she goes, Mummy, why are you crying? And I go, because I'm just thinking. We were just singing the Carpenters song, weren't we, me and you?
Yeah.
And because I have a singing Streisand and the Carpenters.
Yeah.
And I went, and that was mine. And that was mine and Danielle's song. And she was like, oh, rainy days and Mondays.
Oh.
And she went, okay, well, can we go back to singing the Paw Patrol theme tune? And I walk through the woods some days with her and sob, and now tears of joy.
Yeah. You get your comfort where you can get it. Speak to people.
Yeah, you do. It's we live true. In a climate.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with crying, nothing wrong with cheering and seeking solace in whatever form, but not drink or drugs or whatever. But the other most important is, do you know what? It's much nicer to be nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And kind and
that's
nice.
True. And on that final thought, there you go. I hope listening to Tina Malone's story, the highs, the lows, the ups, the downs, the incredible moments that she's had, it gives you a little bit of inspiration so you can move forward with whatever's going on in your life, whatever you're struggling with right now. I'm sure it's not going to last forever. So get your thoughts to us. You can always email us through the website or just find either of us on Facebook or Twitter. So thanks for listening. Once again, Tina, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Leanne, for asking me.
Pleasure.
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe now
via the iTunes Store. Hear more from the Ladies of Liverpool
via ladiesofliverpool.com.